Hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night before the storm. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And, Coach, welcome. How are you doing over there in Beverly?
Well, no storm yet. It's been rainy all day long, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm watching, I was watching Harvey a little while ago, and I started to get a little upset. Oh, by the way, what we've got, well, I'll tell you who we have coming up here soon. I'm starting to get a little upset because they're pumping this thing up already. You know, it's Armageddon, it's Snowmageddon. It's anywhere between 2 and 15, 16 inches, you know. So they have this, seriously.
I was looking at online and they had the 7 weather maps from the various news and weather outlets, and it was like 2 inches up around the glossy area, swinging back west. 2, maybe more, and then it was another one said 6, another one said 6 to 8, another one said 6 to 12. You know, in the band that we're going to get hit with. I'm like, okay, so everybody's in agreement.
Yeah. And it's you know, well, it depends on the spaghetti chart, you know, like with the hurricanes, and this model and that model. So what it's. You know, I don't usually go for conspiracy theories, Coach. Let me try that again. Conspiracy theories. I'm beginning to think there's collusion here between, the TV weathermen and, the grocery stores and the people who sell salt and snow blowers. I think this seems to be because they pump this up and like, oh, look at, you know, and everybody's out there. And then you'll see the guys out there with their yardsticks and there's, oh, there's an inch of snow already. And it's like, oh man. So I'm getting skeptical, man, in my dotage
Rick,
here.
Rick. Really? You have little faith. Come on now.
I have little faith about what? We're going to get between 2 and 6.
4 years of Trump has gone to you and now everything is a conspiracy.
There you go.
They're all against me.
There you go. And the Martians, there are aliens living underground on Mars. Did you read that?
Well, that's probably, you know, one of Trump's ideas.
No.
Maybe we should send him there for him to find out.
Well, I don't know because he's a nationalist and you know, implying that there are aliens living on underground in Mars would promote globalism, you would think, but what do I know? Anyway, let's get back to reality here. Good program tonight. We've got some very interesting guests lined up.
Joe Biden is our new president.
Yeah, okay.
Electoral College says so.
It's a pandemic. We have, I tried to get a representative from all three leagues tonight, but oddly enough, we struck out in the Northeastern Conference, but we'll have Tom Sawyer, who is a Lynn Classical High School girls basketball coach from the Greater Boston League. We'll talk with Glenn Guerin, who's the athletics director up at Amesbury High School. He's from the KPAN League. And we've got feelers out. I've got queries out to a couple of coaches in the Northeastern Conference, but they couldn't connect with them today, and everybody's, you know, really, plus I did at the last minute. So I'm hoping to make that sort of a staple, Coach, that we talk to. We try to get a representative from each league from now on until winter sports begins, and then we can start covering the actual events.
Okay. That's actually occur.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Right now, I was checking the schedules yesterday, and I'll ask Glenn about it. But in the NEC, anyway, checking the hockey schedules, I believe the NEC is scheduling 10 or 11 games. And interestingly enough, if the schedule I looked at is correct, Gloucester High School will be playing something like 8 games at home. And that's because Salem State is closed, the Bork Arena is closed. The Rocket Arena at Salem State, the Bork Arena at Endicott College, they're closed. They won't be housing any games. So some of the teams will be having home games at the Larson Rink in Winthrop, others at the Kasabuski in Saugus, and still others, I guess, over in Lynn. So we'll see how that's going to play out. I don't know in the Cape Ann League. Maybe Glenn can help us out with that. But they are scheduling 10 or 11 games in hockey, and I believe the same is true in basketball. So I don't know what the schedule looks like, Coach, but it looks like they're going to give it a shot. Oh, speaking of a shot, I mean, that's timely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. You know, you're a man of few words tonight, Coach. I don't know. Are you okay?
Yeah, well, I'm a little distracted. I'm trying to get on the golf. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, Gary said it should be open. I'm trying to figure out if I'm watching this live or on Memorex.
All right. It sounds like you're calling from a closet. Are you close to the speakerphone?
Yeah, it's right down in front of me.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the repeat. So,
well, I didn't get to talk about that yet. Gary Larrabee will be talking golf, what there is of golf. He'll be talking about, I believe, the women's have a tournament going on, the women's open. And then he's going to talk about men's golf as well, and kind of a very sad and sobering note that Gary will mention later on. And then we'll be checking with Mike Grenier, talking some Celtics basketball. Who knows, maybe even get into a little Celtics. And if you look down on our website right here on this page, you'll see the Salem News Sports Writers weekly podcast with Bill Newell, and they're all over. They are all over Cam Newton, so you can check that out as well as most of it has to do with high school sports and winter sports, but they had that little dissection of the Patriots play, and that was very disappointing on Thursday night.
Oh, it was awful. It was absolute. I can't believe I sat and watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was uninspired, you know, and let me see the kid. Let me see Stidham. I want to see what he's got, you know, because obviously Cam doesn't have a whole lot left.
Yeah,
he'll make an occasional pass, but other than that, it's like the game is gone. The game is gone, and yeah, you know, he'll run for some yardage, but you can't live on a quarterback, you know, rushing for 50, 60 yards a game. You can't do it.
I think the disappointing thing for me, Coach, aside from the fact that he can't throw, sadly, he just can't hit his receivers, but he doesn't seem to have, and of course we've been spoiled by Brady's, abilities at the line of scrimmage before the ball is snapped, and, you know, that's one of the key things that you look for, and it, with all of experience, it doesn't seem that Cam Newton has that pre-snap read. He hasn't quite figured that out yet, and that's a little disappointing.
You know what? I knew the game was over. The first snap of the game, when he walked up to the line of scrimmage, and they had the camera from behind, in front of the offensive line, and they were looking right at him, and he had this look of terror and like, I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true, yeah.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's a shame because he's, he's quality. He's a quality athlete and a quality person, but he ain't the right fit, I'm afraid. He just ain't it.
Well, he got the whole flamboyant thing down. To me, you know, and it's not to be hypercritical, but, you know, spend less time picking out a nightly wardrobe and spend more time figuring out the playbook.
Well, I'm not gonna, well, okay, whatever. All right, yeah, and we'll see, you know. Few games left. Tom Brady is two games ahead of him now down at Tampa Bay. They're 8-6, I believe. And Brady was not stellar the other night, but he was adequate, and he won the game. And I think most people, myself included, would agree. I'd rather have a downhill Brady at this juncture. I'm not a Brady fan. I love Tom Brady, but I'm not a Brady fan at this point. I'm loyal to the Patriots.
You know, I watched it because it was the best game that was on early of the two games. And, he can still make the throws. He still reads it.
Technique, baby, technique.
Him can't read what's coming at him. You know, he gets blindsided. He takes the sack. You know, Tom used to take the sack because he'd wait for somebody to break open. And eventually the protection would just break down. Cam doesn't know enough to go back three steps, go back five steps. You know, it's just confusion out there watching him play quarterback.
Okay, we need to take our first break of the evening. We shall do that, and we'll come back with Tom Sawyer, the Lynn Classical High School girls basketball coach. Stay with us, please.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of KPN Savings Bank, serving the KPN community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our office as a call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, KPNSavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
All righty. Boy, my pleasure once again to bring on Tom Sawyer, who is the Lynn Classical High School girls basketball coach. And coach, all things considered, how you doing?
Well, all things considered, doing well. Thanks, Rick. Hope you and Tim are well. And being as safe as you can be, and as we head towards what we hope is the end of this thing.
Tom, so many things are emotional right now for me, especially now that I'm an ancient one. I'm an old man here. I really missed Thanksgiving football. I've been doing Thanksgiving football since 1978, so didn't quite know what to do with myself on Thanksgiving Eve when I'd be preparing for the game or Thanksgiving morning. And then the first Saturday in December, that's when we get to be in the pros for 1 year. Tim and me and Bill and Marty, we get to go down to Gillette and be in the major leagues for 1 day, and I missed that. But then coming back early, the next week on Monday, generally we talk to you about the classical jamboree, and I missed that. So all of that being said, Tom, I don't know. I guess I could start by asking maybe a good memory about the jamboree, because the stuff that you've done over the years, I think, has been absolutely spectacular for girls basketball here on the North Shore.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, the Jamboree is one of the highlights of the year, every year for me, and I think many of the coaches who play in it year after year, and it's just a great day. We, usually start around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll go till 9 o'clock at night, and, usually have some 20 teams come through the gym and play in a game, and wear the uniforms, and, everybody's 0-0, so hopes are high for everybody, and, it's just a great time because we're all anticipating the season that's to come. And so it's a great event. It's also a scholarship fundraiser for us, which is nice. And we get to give some classical kids some money that are going to school, basketball players, girls basketball players that are going to further their education. So that's a nice element too. And it's just one of the highlights of the year, right at the beginning of the year.
You ever have any occasion to meet with other coaches or former players and sort of reminisce about some of the jamborees that they've been involved in? Because you've been doing this for quite a while now, and there must be some really cool conversations at some point.
Yeah, I mean, one of the highlights I think for our seniors, obviously, is always the jamboree of their senior year. I think they always look forward to that. And where it's preseason, we get to do some things with the starting lineup that we might not otherwise do, and make sure that we get, all the seniors in early, if not to start the game. So they always enjoy that. So it's just, it's just a nice event. You see different coaches. We've had a number of teams. We've had the same teams come back year in year, which is always nice. But then you always seem to get a couple of new teams that come and go, and you get to meet new coaches and talk with new coaches, and that's always exciting. And knock on wood, we've been very lucky with weather. I mean, I can only think of one time a couple of years ago where we had any weather issues, and so that's always kind of stressful. That's probably the number one stress I have leading up to the jamboree. Start looking at the weather report about 10 days out. And then as it gets closer, but over the years, we've been pretty lucky.
Well, I'm sure you have a system, and you've got people in line who help you out and so on. When the dominoes start to fall, everything kind of falls into place. And, God knows we missed that this year. Before I bring Tim on here to maybe talk about, your move over into the GBL, I just want to ask you, Tom, maybe you could mention some of your seniors who are not going to get a chance to play because Lynn is in the red zone. And I guess I don't know if it's the school committee or the health department is not allowing you guys to play at this point. But maybe you should mention some of your team and some of the kids that you've been in touch with, coming into the basketball season.
Yeah, thank you. I would have had three seniors this year, and I'm, you know, really heartbroken for those kids. Sayla Brinkler, Amelia Pedro, and Chantel Blanco, all kids that have been with us for since their freshman year. And it's just so sad to see that, that it looks like that this is how their senior year of high school, basketball wise, but just in general and all the things that go along with being a senior in high school, that it looks like, this is how it's going to play out for them. So, you know, three terrific young ladies, that have really given us everything we've asked in our basketball program. And, it's just sad to see that, that it looks like it's going to end this way, but, they've all handled it very well. You know, we talk about resilience and persevering in our program, and, you know, they're epitomizing that and, you know, leading us, having leadership through, this very difficult time.
Tim?
Tommy, how you doing?
Good, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to go back to the Jamboree just for a second. What was the one memory that you have of a team, I guess maybe in a way, surprisingly, you know, okay in the Jamboree, and then just coming out and just blowing it away during the regular season, because I did that the coach didn't give anything away early on, and then they just really put the pedal to the metal. Anybody ever do that?
I would say I can't really think of a team, but I'll tell you that the player that stands out to me was Jen Ashton at Beverly, and she comes on the scene in her freshman year, and the rest of us around the league went, oh my goodness, you know. And Matt Smith is, you know, sly like a fox, and you know, he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, that girl can play, and he was right. I remember leaving that night saying, well, we got our work cut out for us when we play Beverly, because they've got quite a young freshman coming in to help an already experienced team. So she would be probably, there's been lots of kids that, you know, that's one of the best parts about the Jamboree, is you see what kind of new talent is coming into the league. And that's just one many years ago that I remember. And I think that she's been playing pro over in England for a number of years now after a great career, college career. So she's one that always I'll remember. And, of course, Matt Smith, you know, just a smile on his face as he knew he had something there.
I have to ask you, because there was a lot within the Northeast Conference coaching community over the weekend in Saugus, and I'm trying to run real quick back to my news. Was it the Salem Boys?
Saugus.
Saugus Boys. Coached by Bertrand.
Yes. Yeah. How well did you know him?
I knew Mark fairly well. I mean, he's on the boys' side, but we'd always cross paths in the gym, and in the, of course, the North Shore high school basketball scene's fairly small. But I didn't know him nearly as well as Mark Schroeder over at Saugus or Paul Moran at Marblehead. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to both of those guys once I heard, because I can only imagine how they're feeling and how they're personally feeling, and in Mark's case, how the Saugus program's feeling. So just a great guy. But my best memory of Mark is when Saugus played Fenwick, I think, at their gym in a tournament game. And I just went as a fan. And if anybody's ever been to Saugus's gym or what was their gym, it was not a big facility, which made it great. And I couldn't find a seat until I got there late, and stood in the doorway next to Paul Moran and Mark Bertrand for the entire game, talking hoops and talking basketball.
Yeah, cool.
A gym that was just completely stuffed with people, and it was just as I look back now, it was just a nice night.
Well, the old classical gym used to be like that as well. The old classical gym.
Yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, exactly. A lot like that.
Yeah, Coach.
With the move now coming up for English and classical to move out of the Northeast Conference, how much input did did you and other coaches have in making that decision?
I would say we were all knew about it. We were all asked our opinion about it. But the decision was really made by the administrators and leaders of classical and English jointly together. And they did what they thought was best for the Lynn Public Schools classical and English athletes in total. You know, any one particular program may be better suited in one place or the other, but their job as the leaders of the schools is to look at all the programs, both boys and girls, spring, winter, and fall. And I think that they came to the conclusion that going forward, this was the best place for the Lynn student athletes, and they move forward with it.
Coach, I want to check in with you later on and do a more in-depth interview when we're not constrained by time here, and we can talk about all this stuff, you know, maybe in a week or a couple of weeks. Maybe when the season gets underway and you've watched a few games and scouted a few people, we can talk some more.
I would love that, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. My heart goes out to the kids. I know how tough it is in Lynn for those kids. It sucks right now, but it's going to get better.
It definitely is. And, you know, we wish we were playing. You feel bad for the kids who aren't able to get on the court and, or the swim, pool or,
yep,
and so forth. And, but you're right. We will get through it.
All right, Coach. I appreciate it. I wish you and your family a very, happy holiday season.
Same to you and yours.
Thank you, Coach. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Coach.
That's Tom Sawyer, who is the Lynn Classical High School girls basketball coach. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. I flipped up the order here. We're going to talk to Glenn Guerin momentarily. He is the Amesbury Director of Athletics at Amesbury High School. We'll be right back.
Blue Collar Lobster at the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, is open daily from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. for takeout, outdoor dining, or inside table service at the Cafe Seven Seas. Blue Collar Lobster offers high-top tables with umbrellas, a tented area with tables and chairs, a canopy area with picnic tables, and seating in the open-air portion of Cafe Seven Seas, all with a view of the working harbor. Full bar service is available, and bartenders are ready to make you a delicious cocktail. Enjoy the food and the view, and stay as long as you like at Blue Collar Lobster, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. To view the Blue Collar Lobster menu, visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
Okay. Yeah, well, stop yelling at me. We're back on the air live. Stop yelling at me. This I get picked on all the time. Okay, we are back. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And now we're really happy to be welcoming once again Glenn Guerin, who is the Director of Athletics at Amesbury High School. As we've talked with a GBL representative, now we're going to talk with a KPAN League coach and athletic director. Glenn, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, great to have you, man. Great to have you. You know, it was great connecting with you last year, and back in the spring we had a round table with some of your senior captains and so on. Now, KPAN League, are you guys planning to be playing winter sports?
We are. As a matter of fact, we started today, and the goal was to start on the 14th of December. I think a few schools are starting a little later, but the long story short is we hope to start. We are started, and we hope to keep it going just like we did through the fall and give kids the opportunity to play, whether it be, you know, basketball or whatever, and we can get through the winter like we did the fall, we'll be very happy about that.
Well, it was a great story from fall with a new coach and a new pro. You got some wins in your new program. I appreciate you turning me on to that. Maybe tell me a little bit about your new coaches.
Sure. We had, you know, like I said, we had Maddie McLean. You had Coach McLean on, and, you know, boys soccer. We had also had Kerry Doherty take over our field hockey program in the fall, and Sam Burnham, a former student athlete at Amesbury, he took over the golf program. So the fall turned out pretty well for us. We had some new faces, new coaches, a lot of excitement, and they did it right, you know, all things considered with COVID and the reduced schedules and the protocols. We were very proud and happy of not only our kids but our coaches and our families and in the community. It turned out to be a good fall, and like I said, now we just got to keep plugging through the winter and You know, it's one step at a time with this.
Maddie was saying it's Mr. Guerin. It's Mr. Guerin. It can't be Glenn, right? Because she had you as a coach.
She was a student athlete at Amesbury, absolutely, and then I graduated UNH. So she had I had just got to, well, I was there a couple of years. It's my 10th year now at Amesbury, but Amesbury was Maddie was a great student athlete at Amesbury High School and had a fantastic career at UNH, and we were very blessed to get her back in and, you know, running the boys program. And, you know, as you saw, she did a fantastic job. The kids loved her, parents loved her, and, you know, we hope to get her, you know, keep her around for a while, get her in the system, and I know she's going to do some great things with that program.
So enthusiastic. Before I let Tim take over and talk about winter sports, can you tell me a little bit, Glenn, about how the rest of fall sports went for Amesbury?
Yeah, I mean, fall, you know, we thought we did very well with fall. I mean, the goal was to go in and give kids an opportunity to play every game, not have kids get sick or anything like that, and we did. We actually started the season without fans in the stands. We were able to get parents and fans in around week three to see their sons and daughters play. We accomplished all our goals by getting kids minutes, getting kids, you know, time on the playing surface, and we finished the schedule without any hiccups. So I was very happy. I was happy with our kids, our coaches, our staff, and ultimately in the end when the fans got there, everyone did exactly what they were supposed to do to provide kids an opportunity to play in the fall, and I think that was, you know, the best thing that could have happened because our kids had missed the spring. You know, they went through a summer of uncertainty, and, you know, we were remote as a school district. We were remote during the fall, so to get them away from a computer screen, get them out on a field was the best thing we could have did for them, and they did everything that they had to do to finish their seasons, and we were happy for that.
Excellent. Tim, you there?
Are you guys still remote now?
We're actually back. No, we recently went back to a hybrid model. So we've got, you know, two different cohorts, Monday and Tuesday, and then Thursday and Friday. So we're trying to get back to a little bit more normal. But yeah, we're in a hybrid situation now at school. And, you know, I think it's great to see kids because I'm also an assistant principal there. So it's great to see kids in the building, teachers back in the building. You know, you close your eyes sometimes and you forget that you're in a COVID situation. When you see the kids in the hallways, it's nice, and I know they're excited to be back. So,
well, we're in those two hats. Must keep you jumping during the course of the day.
It can be a little confusing and a little lengthy, but it's fun. I mean, you know, I enjoy sports and I like the academic piece, so it's a good blend. And Amesbury is, you know, Amesbury's not a large school, so you're able to make ends meet, and you know, at a small school, you can get away with playing both roles. So it is nice to be able to do that.
One of the things I've noticed over the years of following North Shore sports, especially, is Amesbury has always managed to remain competitive, and you'll cycle through where you'll have a dominant stretch where either football or basketball or baseball or any one of the sports has that run that really helps stimulate student interest and keeps that interest there. Not only for the participation, but also for the fan support.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, Amesbury's been blessed. I mean, when I came down 10 years ago, you start to learn a little bit about the culture. And, you know, Amesbury, I grew up in Methuen, and Amesbury's a lot like Methuen, a blue collar, you know, hardworking people who pride themselves on, you know, doing things the right way, not taking shortcuts. And ultimately, if you do those type of things and you follow that model, success will find you, or you'll find success, and then, you know, you just fall back on it. You just go back to your basics. We're very basic, you know, sports, schooling, whatever it is. You know, we cross the T's, dot the I's, and ultimately there are no shortcuts, you know, when you want to be successful. So our people do that, and it is. It works out well for us.
Yeah, I know. I've worked with Bill Loud, at his, Beverly Baseball Clinic over the last 25 years, and there's been a number of kids from the Amesbury area that have come down to Beverly on a Sunday morning to get workouts in, and it always amazes me, not the local kids that find their way there, but the kids who have to come some distance every single Sunday to come down and put the time in to get the work in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Coach Glenn, the Northeastern Conference is facing some problems. Not the right word. Some challenges scheduling hockey games because several rinks have been closed that usually host the high school teams. What's it like up in the CAL for hockey?
Well, you know what? It's funny you talk about hockey. For us in Amesbury this year, hockey is not going to happen in the winter. It's challenging because we're a co-op. We co-op with Whittier.
Right.
And unfortunately, Whittier is not participating in winter sports.
Right.
So that takes away half of our student athletes in hockey. And as of this past Friday, unfortunately, I had to cancel our hockey season, put it on our pause for this year because we just didn't have enough players signed up from Amesbury to safely and successfully have a season. We did have 10 kids sign up online, but that's certainly not enough. So we the Coach Costa, Steve Costa is, entering his second year as our hockey coach. We spent a lot of time talking and with our upper level administration on Friday. And unfortunately, we had to shut down our season, before it really got started. But it was we came to the conclusion it was the smart and safe thing to do for some of our kids that did sign up. And it was very disappointing and, sad, but it's one of the things that we had to do that, really kind of like hurt us a little bit.
Yeah. I saw that Whittier canceled. Do you know Kevin Bradley pretty well?
Oh, sure. We both grew up in Methuen. He's a couple of years older than I am, but yeah, we've known Kevin for a long, long time.
Great guy. When you talk to him, tell him Rick Moore was asking about him because I haven't seen him in a while, but he's awesome. I love the dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just saw that they canceled. I guess final question for me, and then I'll let Tim finish it up. In terms of basketball, what do you got, about 11 games lined up?
Sure. What we've done is the league has decided to play 10-game schedules, and we'll play all the small schools in the vacant division twice, and then we cross over and play the large schools once. So you get 5 home games, 5 away games. It was a little difficult to put the schedule together, but in the end, it's what's best for kids, it's what's best for our league, and it gives everyone opportunity where the games are spread out, typically Tuesday, Friday. Because you always got to try and think about cohorts and separation, because this year has been a little different when it comes to running athletics. You got to do things a little bit differently, but we are going to play 10 games, and like I said, fingers crossed we get them all in for the kids.
Has basketball been been the only one that's been impacted by with an inability to be scheduled this fall, this winter?
Yeah, especially, obviously I just told you about our situation, but yeah, some of the other schools, they had to do some scrambling to find rinks that they could play in. And then even when you get to the rinks, hockey is run a lot differently, in regards to bringing bags in. Kids got to get dressed at their home site and basically old school, bring their skates, over their shoulder, strap them on when they get there, play, and then get the heck out, but at least they've got an opportunity. I know a lot of, some of the rinks around us. I know Haverhill Valley Forum, where we have typically played when we didn't have a season. I know Matt Johnson, who runs that rink, he was gracious enough to give some ice hours over to Newburyport, and I think he gave some ice hours to Central Catholic that we normally had, because, some of the rinks that those people went to, they didn't have the opportunity to play. So everyone's looking for hours. So in the end, people help each other out and make it work, but those are some of the things you have to face when you're dealing with a hockey schedule.
Right.
Glenn, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Don't forget to mention my name to Kevin Bradley next time you talk to him. I missed it. I'm going to have to call him and have him on.
absolutely. He's a fantastic guy, great coach, great leader, and absolutely, I'll let him know that I was talking to you, and thank you both very much.
I appreciate it. Hey, Glenn, thank you for what you're doing. This is a critical time in the education and in history for our kids, and what you guys are doing as educators is spectacular. So thank you very much. Stay safe and have a great holiday season. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, I hope.
Absolutely. You as well. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Glenn. Take care.
Happy holidays.
That's Glenn Guerin, who is the director of athletics at Amesbury High School. Okay, another break, and if I press the right buttons here, I'll be able to put some music on, and then we can get our spot on, and then I will be talking with Gary Larrabee, so wish me luck.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo, or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Okay, we're back live once again, and my thanks to Glenn Guerin of Amesbury High School for stopping by, and also to Tom Sawyer, Lynn Classical girls basketball coach. And now we bring back Gary Larrabee, who is our sports historian. He's not ours, but he's a sports historian and golf writer. Gary, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fabulous by the mere fact we got the final round of the U.S. Women's Open in today down there in wet and soggy and bone-chilling Houston, Texas.
You don't hear that very often, wet and bone-chilling in Houston. Okay, so I presume that's where you want to start.
Oh, yes, you know, because we have such a close, you know, close connection to the U.S. Women's Open because of the two historic Women's Opens we had at Salem Country Club back in 1954. Thank you, Babe Zaharias. In 1984, when Hollis Stacey won her third, Babe won her third at Salem in 54, and we might get another Women's Open down the road, but the fact remains that the final round was today after they got rained out yesterday at the Champions Golf Club. And of course, Tim, as we've talked in the past, the Asian contingent dominated.
Boy, I guess they did.
You know, we have a very interesting named champion, very interesting story. Actually, these young ladies make for some great stories. A. Lim Kim was the winner at 3 under par, 281. She birdied three of the last four holes to win it by one shot over Jin Young Ko, both from South Korea. But look who finished in a tie for second with Jin Young Ko, but none other than American Amy Olsen.
Yeah, she had the lead going into the last round, and Kim overcame a five-shot deficit for the win.
Yep, Olsen never contended in the U.S. Open before, but she almost won this one. Hinako Shibuno, who was also a leader in the, I think, first couple of days from Japan, she finished at 1 under. She finished fourth, and lo and behold, the fifth-place finisher was Megan King from Rockland, Massachusetts, her highest finish ever in a U.S. Women's Open. She finished at 1 over par. She shot 1 over today, but a fantastic finish by Megan King from Rockland, Massachusetts, to finish fifth. Two Americans, three Asians. It could have been worse, Tim.
Yeah, you know, and as Gary, you know, I went down through the standing, and holy my, it's all Asian. You know, every sixth or seventh name you see an American pop in there. Type of ninth, Caitlin Papp. You know, and all of a sudden it's you know, more Asian. How is it, Gary? I know we've gone over this before. But how are they coming just to be so dominant on the women's tour? Is it becoming a cultural thing in these countries where parents aren't sending them to university, but they're sending them to golf schools?
It may very well be part of the story because 9 of the last 13 U.S. Opens have been won by Korean women. And the trend continues, obviously. And it's not so much the case on the men's side. There are occasional men from Asia who are having some impact on the men's tour, but it's extraordinary that the women have adapted to the game so well. And here we have another winner from Korea. And she's also, Tim and Rick, she's the first champion of a major golfing championship anywhere in the world to win with a mask on.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's important, man. You know, I can't wait to see what history is going to write about this year. Not only in politics, but also in sports, because you're right. That's significant.
Indeed, and in fact, she was 94th ranked in the world coming into the tournament. No one thought she would be in contention. But of course, if you look back to the Women's British Open earlier this year, that was won by Sofia Popov. And she also, like Lim Kim, are non-LPGA members. So we've never had two non-LPGA members win major championships in the same year. So all kinds of crazy stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we were so happy that we always have to keep an eye on this tournament, you know, because of our connections from the two at Salem Country Club. But Tim, the beat goes on. The Koreans keep dominating.
Well, I think we just have to make with American citizens when they first come over to play, so we can have more Americans winning. You know, they get off the plane, we swim in right away.
It's a good story, even though it's not an American winner. Because the other thing I want to share with you folks tonight is the fact that we got some very sad news last week that Tom Weisskopf, the legendary great player from Ohio, has come down with pancreatic cancer, and we have to wish him the very best. He's already started some very intense treatment. You know, Weisskopf won a major. We won like 17 tour events. Always one of the most debonair players out there with a very short fuse, but a fabulous swing. I love the way he just went about his business on the golf course. They said he might be the next Jack Nicklaus. He didn't become the next Jack Nicklaus, but, you know, we're worried about him. Pancreatic cancer. We saw what happened to Alex Trebek with pancreatic cancer, and we have to wish Tom Weisskopf, one of the great personalities in the last 50 years of American golf, the very best.
Did you ever interview him, Gary?
I did not, but I heard plenty of stories from people who have, and he could be very, very pleasant. He could be nasty. He could be sarcastic, but he was the real deal. And many players, Rick, don't feel that he really reached his potential, despite the fact he did win one major, a British Open, and he won maybe, like I said, 17, 18 tour events. And several, they think, over in Europe as well. He won, I think, three or four Champions Tour events. He did not play much on the Champions Tour. He made a lot of money, guys, and after he pretty much eased off on the regular tour, he made a ton of dough as a very successful golf course architect.
You know, Gary, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember about Tom Weisskopf is when you'd watch him through the weekend of golf and on Sunday, nothing ever seemed to really get there. He didn't seem fazed by anything. I always thought of him as a very laid back kind of guy out there, even though, you know, you mentioned how intense he was. To me, he just, what he projected was just, I'm going out here and I'm going to play golf. You know, and I'm going to see where it goes. I'm going to see where I finish. It's like he didn't let a lot of it bother him, at least outwardly when I was watching him play.
And that, you're right, that was his body language. He was, very laissez-faire out there, but of course he could get angry and he could have a temper. And of course, one of his great claims to fame is the fact he made 13 one year on the par 3 12th hole at Augusta National during the Masters.
Yikes. Claim to fame. Yeesh.
Tiger made a 10 this past
year. Yes, yes.
On the 12th, so.
Yes.
Because I played it once and I made a par 3, guys, so. I'm in select company too.
Yes, you are. You know, Gary, before we let you go, Tim brought up something last week and I can't remember who the athlete was. But we talk about, not that Tom Weisskopf is in this category, but I saw John Daly the other day on something, I don't know what it was. We were out to dinner and there was something on a sports channel and it reminded me of the great athletes or the great talents that have played professional sports. And I'm going to use the word squandered, who have squandered their talents. And among them, the first one name that comes to my mind is Mickey Mantle. I think Mickey Mantle might have been the greatest baseball player of all time had he been sober. Talk about five-tool player. But there are others like that. And is there anybody like that on the golf tour besides John Daly? It seems to me most of these guys, they're athletes. They take care of themselves.
And indeed they do. And, Daly won two majors, both very unexpected. He won the PGA as the seventh alternate out at, I think was on a crooked stick out in Indiana. And then, I don't know, 7, 8 years later, maybe 6 years later, he wins the Open Championship at, of all places, the home of golf, St. Andrews.
St. Andrews, yeah.
So he made his mark, but he had you know, drinking problems as well, and he had women problems. He's been married 4 or 5 times, and because of Mantle, you know, Mantle had very bad knees
mm-hmm.
very early in his career, and it's extraordinary, Rick, I would argue, with extraordinary what he accomplished.
Yes, yes.
With those terrible legs. But you're right, he had too much fun with, Billy Martin and Whitey Ford. It's amazing those guys won the championship.
I know.
Won. With all the hell raising they did.
You know, Gary, you go back to when Mickey Mantle first tore up his knee. Who puts a drain in the middle of center field? And Yankee fans, they put a drain out in the middle of center field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He ran into,
yep.
And he ripped his knee up.
Yep.
And he even made the comment, you know, that I always wondered how good I would have been if I hadn't been drinking.
Wow, Whitey Ford,
you know,
too.
You also think about Ricky Allen, Dick Allen,
yeah.
who just died last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. Some people claim he didn't reach his potential, but he had a hell of a career, and a little bit surly, but fabulous career. And
he lost another
great one.
He was a guy that whether you liked the Phillies or the White Sox, he got up, he paid attention. And you were scared to death that he was going to just absolutely deflate the baseball.
Yep, that was him. That was Dick Allen, no question.
All right, Gary, we got to let you go. You got to arm up for next week, and then I think the following week is probably Christmas week. But we'll do it. We'll do it next Monday anyway, if you're up for it.
I'm always up for it with you guys. You know that.
I love it. Thanks, Gary.
Take care, guys.
Talk to you later. Yep, you too.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, that's Gary Larrabee, golf writer. A sports historian, and just an encyclopedia of knowledge. We're going to go to the next encyclopedia of knowledge here in just a minute. Mike Grenier will take a break, and if I push all the right buttons, we should be okay. Let's see what happens here, so stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Alrighty then, these guys are already talking before I get back on the air here. I'm Rick Moore. Joining us now is Mike Grenier, sports journalist, and Tim Kearns. Tim, go ahead, take it away.
We just don't know when you're going to lose us on air, so we try to get as much in as we can.
That makes sense to me. That's logical.
How are you, Mike?
We're doing all right, Tim. We're doing okay here, you know?
Good. I guess now we need to stop talking about the Celtics. The season is right around the corner. And off the year, I was asking if they had played any preseason because I was roaming around the stations today, and I saw teams talking about playing exhibition games, and they were talking to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum about leadership and what it means to them about assuming that role in the clubhouse, because we have to believe that they're going to be the two leaders of the new Celtics as we, you know, move into the 2020-2021 season.
And it's so funny, Tim. I mean, years ago with the Celtics, the leaders were guys like Bill Russell, who was a veteran, or John Havlicek, or Larry Bird. But we're talking about Jaylen Brown. And I saw him over the weekend talking about taking an active leadership role. He's like 24 years old. and it's true, right, Rick? I mean, he's 24 years old, and Tatum, who's always wanted to be a leader, last couple of years. He's like 22. So they're taking on big responsibility. Obviously, they're making the big money, all kidding aside. So they want to have that ownership of that leadership role. And I think they're not shy about it. And I think because they are by far the two best players on the team, I can see them why they would want to assume that role. You know, I mean, right now, I think the Celtics are in a state of flux with their injuries. Kemba Walker, we don't know when he's going to be ready. He had a procedure done on his knee. And Tristan Thompson, who they just acquired in the offseason here, he won't be ready because he's got a hamstring injury. So neither one of them is ready for training camp or the beginning of the season. So I think, you know, it all goes back now to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and, you know, the other starters, obviously, Daniel Tice and, you know, guys like that. They're going to have to be the ones to come through early in the season.
Mike, the leadership moniker is nebulous in my mind, especially after the Kyrie Irving, whatever that was. But you mentioned Good Grod, you mentioned Bill Russell, you mentioned, you know, John Havlicek, there was Dave Collins, and then you look at other captains, Karl Yastrzemski and Jason Varitek, and they were all grizzled veterans, if you will, with championships.
Right.
Do you think that Brad Stevens has learned something from the Kyrie Irving leadership mantle that he wanted to wear in terms of dealing with these kids?
I agree. I think he has. I mean, I think he would never admit it because Brad Stevens is that type of guy. He's not going to rip anybody publicly, okay? However, I do believe he's learned from it that, you know, he's going to have to look for the guys who are on the court, true leaders, in practice. And that means away from the court. That means especially during practice sessions.
Yep.
Because that's where they have to be the role models, even for the older players. And Kyrie Irving was such a horrendous the clubhouse influence, locker room influence, and such a horrendous leader, a very selfish kind of person, and which he's actually doing the same thing right now with the Brooklyn Nets, not talking to the media, which, who cares? He doesn't talk to the media, but, you know, he's obviously flying in the face of Steve Nash, the new coach over there, not showing any leadership whatsoever. So I'm kind of, obviously, we're all glad that Kyrie's long gone, and that we have people like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are capable of playing, who are capable of being leaders, and who are capable of, let's say, as faces of the franchise, dealing with the other things that leaders need to do and captains need to do. So, again, we're talking about a situation now where, you know, Danny Ainge has been trying to put together the best players possible to go with those two guys, and, you know, obviously lost Gordon Hayward. To me, that's a big loss. Honestly, even though he missed a lot of games, it's tough to replace 17 or 18 points a game and 5 or 6 rebounds and 4 or 5 assists. But they're going to have to find that from other players. So that's why they were hoping Tristan Thompson could do it. Can Robert Williams do it as a third-year player who's been injured a lot? Again, that remains to be seen. Carson Edwards was supposed to be a great shooter coming out of college. He was coming out of Purdue. Didn't produce when it was time to produce on a professional level. So there were a lot of question marks surrounding this team, which obviously means that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have to carry a huge part of the load, especially early on.
Yeah, and does that, in a way, Mike, make it easier to defend the Celtics because you're going to be able to rush double teams at both of those guys where you don't have a point guard who's going to be able to consistently drive to the hoop. You don't have a number two who can, throw it in to keep your defense extended. You don't have a number five that's going to be a force underneath. You have those two out on the wing.
I agree, Tim. It's going to be a problem. This is what Brad Stevens and the coaching staff have to figure out because obviously opposing defense, that you're right, they're going to make the focal point of their defense, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're going to double and triple team them at times, and so other guys have to score. For now, that third scorer will not be, will not be Kemba Walker. So Jeff Teague, who they just picked up, 32 years old, capable veteran, a capable scorer, he's going to have to give you 10, 12, 14 points and try to divert some attention from opposing defenses onto him. Daniel Tice, again, he plays bigger than his size, which is like only got Dave Cowens type size, 6'8", and he's going to have to provide some inside scoring and a little bit outside shooting. They're going to have to find that third and fourth consistent scorer at least until Kemba Walker comes back and until Tristan Thompson, who can score. He averaged 12 points and 10 rebounds a game last year at age 28. He is only 29 years old. So he has to, we have to wait to see how he recovers, how much, what his timeline will be as far as contributing to this team. But you are right. Until the Celtics can prove they, until they can demonstrate they can get scoring from other guys, defenses are definitely going to focus on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And, you know, so it really remains to be seen how effective the Celtics will be as an offensive unit, particularly early in the season. I mean, it's going to be a shortened schedule to a degree, right, Tim? We know it's going to be a 72-game schedule as opposed to 82. So it's going to be essential if the Celtics want to be in the race. It's going to be essential for them to win some games early to try to keep pace with the leaders in the Eastern Conference, which will probably be Milwaukee and the Miami Heat, who proved to be such a good team last year, and the Toronto. Well, they're actually the Tampa Bay Raptors for a while here because of the COVID. They will be based in Tampa until further notice.
I want to ask about that. The NHL is revamping their divisions and their lineup, their rivalries. Do I have that right? Division conference? Yeah, the divisions. Is the NBA doing the same thing? Are they going geographic?
They're going kind of geographic, yes. They want to limit the travel as much as possible. And I think that's a great thing. Now, of course, the NBA, although they're not admitting it, they got to be a little worried that players are going to socialize a little bit too much. They're trying to put some rules in place to discourage that and to penalize teams and individuals if they socialize. Obviously, supposedly bars are going to be off limits, restaurants are going to be off limits, but you know, these are young guys and they do foolish things, no matter if it's the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, and MLB. And I think you're going to get some of that during the season, so you're going to see players perhaps get on the COVID list and have to forfeit some time and all that stuff. So it's kind of a big, huge question mark in my mind, because obviously the bubble in Orlando was a tremendous thing in the sense that I don't think you had a single player test positive. Teams were able to get through the rest of their regular season and the playoffs without any problems. But that was really a very restricted type of bubble. The players weren't able to go out on their own. Now they're going to be flying. They're going to be going to hotels. Even if it's short-term flying as opposed to long, going coast to coast, it's still going to be a problem because players will mix they'll mix with the general public, they'll mix with friends, they'll mix with people in general. I think that's unavoidable. Tim, what do you think? I think it's unavoidable that there'll be some kind
of... Yeah, I think, especially with again, the average age of the league so low, and some of these guys, never went through 4 years of college in the discipline of being under the tutelage of that head coach who was really kind of reining you in every single step. So
right. There's
a lot of discipline that they've missed, and coming out of school is early. It's been like, kid in the candy store kind of existence.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, look where I am. I can't be touched. Well, you're going to find out that you can be touched very quickly here.
Yeah, there's no question. And I mean, players weren't able to socialize. They were not able to socialize. We're in the bubble except by playing golf. And, they had certain facilities within the bubble. Now it's literally like letting the horses out of the barn.
Exactly.
They will be able to, obviously Brad Stevens and coaches throughout the league will tell their players, hey, beware of the protocols and be active, be active in terms of observing those protocols. But, really, with hundreds of players in the league, we know there are going to be some slip-ups. That's inevitable. So when those slip-ups occur, it's going to damage those teams in terms of putting their best players on the floor. So it's a huge gamble in some ways. And, I mean, you look at it in the NCAA basketball team. I don't know if you saw Coach Krzyzewski of Duke is questioning the wisdom of even having a college season because there are going to be so many problems. And when you have a Coach Krzyzewski who's always annually in the mix to reach the Final Four or whatever, when you have a coach of that magnitude saying things like that, you know that he's concerned about this coming season. And by extension, there are a lot of other college coaches who are going to be concerned. And then that has to filter up to the pro level. But the pro level is all about making money and you know, there are obviously not going to be any fans in these buildings for a while, but I think the hope is with the vaccine that fans will be able to get back to the TD Garden and arenas throughout the country.
God, let's hope so. You know, let's hope so. Jeepers, yeah. You know. Oh, hey, Mike, this is great. I appreciate it. You know, once again that you came on. You available next Monday night too?
Oh, absolutely. And by then, we're going to be quoting the Celtics play the Milwaukee Bucks, which should be fun on the 23rd. And then they've got a Christmas Day game.
Okay.
So you know, it'll be it's coming up soon, and all the things we just talked about, but. Can those two young players carry the Celtics, especially early in the season? They'll be in the mix right away.
All right, we'll do it again next Monday night. We'll figure out what your plans are, too, to cover the Celtics next week. In the meantime, stay safe, and, you know, as soon as this vaccine becomes available, I'm getting it, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, we're not hesitating here either. Tim, I'm hoping you're going to do the same.
I will do that, yep.
Sounds good.
I'm on that set. I'm in that phase two group right off the bat.
Yeah, that's right. We're in the elderly group.
You got that right.
Getting it pretty quickly.
I know. But it's only an age thing.
Right.
Age is a state of old age is a state of mind. So let's keep that.
I think so too.
There you go, Mike. Thanks so much, man. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you so much, guys.
Appreciate it, Mike.
See you, Mike.
All right, that's Mike Grenier, who is another great sports journalist here on the North Shore, and just keeps doing it, man. He just keeps doing it. Tim, any final thoughts, suggestions, complaints, or whatever?
Nope, just the Electoral College has spoken.
Okay, you had to go there, didn't you? Okay.
Yep.
Well, the cable news channels ought to be fun to watch tonight. I'm gonna flip back among CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, and we'll see where that goes. That's we could do a whole college. Probably a whole college degree on studying those things. All right, Tim, same thing. You stay safe. We'll talk again next Monday night.
I'll talk to you next Monday night.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much, man. Stay safe.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
That's Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst and our ambassador of goodwill here on MSO News Sports. So on behalf of Bill Newell and Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposka, I'm Rick Moore. And, yeah, stay safe, do the right thing, and we'll see you next Monday night. Spread the word. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. And this is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. Hopefully Tim will be back to push the buttons.